Mark 7, I think. Let's go to Mark 7, verse 14. When he had called all the people unto him, he said unto them, "Hearken unto me, every one of you, and understand." Again, hearken is something that really calls your attention to. It's one of those words that isn't, we don't have a word like it in English, but it means heed this. There is nothing from without a man that entering into him can defile him. But the things which come out of him, these are they that defile the man. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. Now, this flies in the face of just about everything. Because we always want some outward appearance. Well, we could spend 100 years on that. But let's continue. And when he was entered into the house from the people, his disciples asked him concerning the parable. And he said unto them, "Are you so without understanding also? Do you not perceive that whatsoever thing from without entereth into the man, it cannot defile him? Because it entereth not into his heart or inner man, but in the belly, and goeth out into the draught, purging all foods." And he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of the man or inner being, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murderers, thefts, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, and foolishness. All these come from within and defile that man." Does everybody understand that? It's only that which is within you that can defile you. Let's look at Matthew and see what it's said in Matthew. Matthew 23.
Those are the things that defile you. How do you suspect they get in there?
That's part of the fall. That's what we studied yesterday. That's the most that's... You can't escape it. Does that make sense?
Can't escape it.
You can cover it up. But then... Whenever the right thing comes to your whatever, to the midnight hours, we say, or other times, this is where you're defiled.
Can't do anything about it?
Hmm?
Can't do anything about it?
No, you can only die. That's the whole meaning of this disciple. You are dead. It's the resurrected Christ only that's the life.
Did it say something about purging?
Hmm?
It says something about purging.
Yeah, let's go to Matthew 23. Maybe I can explain it further. You blind guides, which stray at a gnat and swallow a camel. Verse 24. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you make clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but within are full of extortion and excess. Thou blind Pharisee, cleanse first that which is within the cup and platter, and that the outside may be clean also. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you are like unto whited sepulchres, which indeed appear beautiful, but are within full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. Even so you also outwardly appear righteous unto men, but within you are full of hypocrisy and iniquity. And then it goes on about, this one has different meaning when we'll talk about in a second. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, because you build the tombs of the prophets and garnish the sepulcher of the righteous, and say, if we had been in the days of our families, we would not have been partakers with them in the blood of the prophets. Wherefore you are witnesses unto or against yourselves that you are the children of them which killed the prophets. Fill up then the measure of your fathers. Now that what that means is that we have to go all the way back as part of the human race. We have to see, and if you don't, we need to talk about it a great deal. You are the ones that crucified Christ. All of us. We are the ones that crucified him. And you can't fix that. Does anybody understand that? If we would have been there, we would have yelled, crucified him. Luther says, whenever you count your thoughts, and each one of those thoughts that come into your being is a nail that's being pushed into the hands and feet of God, of Christ.
And the thorns and the crown too, he said that too.
Yeah. Yeah, that's what it is. The crown of thorns is, that's each one of the crowns of your thoughts pounding, being pounded into his skull, that aren't of faith. And then he continues on, then the, if you think you have something to do, then it's the nails. If you think you have some place to go, it's the nails in your feet, in his feet. So the point is, we crucify him daily. And we do it with our minds. You can appear outward, play the game, believe it or not, I used to be really good at cocktail party conversations, talking about whatever it is, and I'd read up on everything so that I was sure I could have something to talk about. I even talked about cowboys. And now it sickens me. But this mystery of the inner being must be cleansed or put to death by the mystery of God. And the mystery of God is your baptism. The human race died on the cross. So what have you been? You've been the evil one. There was no Antichrist before Christ. The Antichrist came, the instead of Christ came after he killed the human, Jesus killed the human race. If one died for all, then we're all dead. We should have a burial service now and lament, poor you, you've died. They used to do that. Every Passover, the preacher would talk about, you died with him. Now, you haven't been buried, though, because you're still trying to keep yourself alive. But the self is no longer even of Adam and Eve, but now it's of the evil one. You can protest till hell freezes over, but if you haven't died, there's no resurrection. This is what a test. I beg of you to test your thoughts. Put your thoughts to the test. Put your midnight hour thinking and fantasizing to the test. From God's perspective, I mean, we're toast toasties. We're gone. If you want to be a disciple, it must have been something I said. Any response?
Yeah, it made me think of how, where did we start, Luke, what?
Well, we started Mark 7.
We started Luke 11, I think, I forgot.
Well, whatever it was, you know, where he hearkened, listen, get a hold of this, you know. Essentially, he was calling out the fallenness of man. And there's no equivocation that this is your state. This is how it is. And I suspect each one of the people who heard that could identify with some of what he was saying, that they were guilty of this one and that one and this one. And that one. So it's like it speaks clearly to our state. And it's like it's not only our mind, but he addressed the heart of the man. Is wicked.
Well, that's what.
And
the heart is. The heart is just a pump blood. But they used to think that the heart was, you had thoughts in your heart. You don't. You have thoughts in your mind.
You don't see a difference between the two.
Hmm?
You don't see a difference between the two.
There's a massive difference, but your heart doesn't think.
What's the difference?
The brain thinks, not the heart.
But the heart is the seat and feeds the brain, and the brain takes it and runs with it. I mean, there's some mechanical.
Well, you know, you say the same about.
It's the whole man, is what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, there's no escape if you have any intellectual integrity. You're gone. You're dead. If you're not. God didn't even see you.
What kind of death are you talking about?
The death is the same death that Christ took.
Oh, okay, because I was thinking, man.
And you died on the cross. But the evil one raised himself from the deadly head wound, and that's what the human race is now, the evil one. Of the evil one. That's why the Lord's Prayer is so incredible. But he said, "Well, it's again, you gotta come to a place where you see that if that's the only prayer that he taught us to pray, not verbatim, but find a verbatim. We're gonna get verbatim. I'm thinking of German, but it's to see what those words mean in you." Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Now, if his will isn't done in you, then you're kidding yourself. Give us this day our daily bread, or the bread of the promise, or the bread of the face, or the flesh of the Son. And forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive the other, anyone else's trespasses, anything else.
That means,
but lead us not into self for any reason, but deliver us from the evil one. For thine is the kingdom, thine is the power, thine is the glory. Oops, go ahead.
Okay.
Well, that's
all right. He was talking about bones dead. That means they're sinners. Where are bones dead means?
I don't understand what bones.
He was talking about the scripture. You like bones dead, dead bones.
The Pharisees inside are like dead bones.
Oh, the whited sepulcher, but inside you're dead bones. Yeah, they take the grave and the sepulcher and make it all fancy, and you know, if he's a big important person, it's really fancy. And they keep whiting it, make sure it stays clean. But inside is dead men's bones. Well, we are too. We are dead men. We try to make this outside of this pleasing for something. But inside, we are full of dead men's bones. The only life that's resurrected is Jesus Christ. You're not resurrected. The only mind of Christ is His mind, and that's a perfect funnel to the Father. So He never does anything of or from Himself. But it's don't worry about the outward thing. I mean, that's meaningless. What God sees and what a disciple must overcome, and the only way he can overcome it is by his death and burial. Because you cannot fix your mind or your brain. It can't be fixed. It can't be made holy. You can protest all day long and saying you have the mind of Christ, but if there's the slightest hint that you're doing something of yourself, you know it's not. It's all of these, it's everything in the Bible should push us to this place where we find out there's no hope for the atom. There's no hope for this vessel of sin and death. The only hope is His resurrection in you. But there can be no resurrection unless there is first a death. Your death. And that's the main message that's gone from the Christian church in America and from around the world. You try to figure out a way that the human, the vessel, can stay alive. And that's the most common form of Gnosticism throughout history. And each one of us are guilty. We try to use the words of the Bible as declarations instead of seeing that it's only to bring forth fruit for repentance. I better quit or I'm going to go on a rant. Anybody have any response? Take a big guy.